In today's gospel, we get perhaps a side of Jesus that at first glance isn't what we would expect. He doesn't appear ready and willing and quick to meet the demands of this woman, who understandably is concerned because her daughter is quite sick. We can presume that she's probably going to die. But we have to, as with so many things in the Bible, we have to put this story in its context for us to understand. And it teaches us something valuable about God himself. So what's the context? In this particular section of the Gospel of Matthew, we've seen many things. Last week, we encountered Jesus walking on the water after having fed the 5,000. A story, by the way, that is recounted in each of the Gospels, which makes it a privileged experience of Jesus. But that story is in the context of Jesus interacting with the Pharisees about religious rules and regulations. See, the disciples did not perform the ritual washing before eating. Now, this wasn't a hygienic thing. Sometimes people like to reduce it. Well, you know, what was the big deal? The disciples should be washing their hands before they eat. But that's not what the issue was. The issue had to do with ritual purity, being in the right place in order to worship God. And what Jesus points out to the Pharisees is that while they may be very concerned about that small area of life, they ignore much larger areas, like giving away their inheritance so that they don't have to pass it on to care for their parents or to pass it on to their children. Who was the beneficiary of this type of gift? The Pharisees. They didn't want to hear what Jesus was beginning to help them to understand, that the kingdom of God isn't first and foremost about the externals. It's much more important about the internal. We hear this time and again throughout the Old Testament as well. It's not holocaust and sacrifice that God desires, but a heart open to God and doing what God wants. We see it in the unfolding of the New Testament, in the discussion between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter about whether or not Gentiles had to follow the dietary kosher rules of the Jewish religion. And the ultimate decision had to do with the interior disposition of the believer and not the external observation. Now, to be sure, Jesus is not throwing out everything external. But what he's saying is, if the external is going to have meaning, then in fact it has to be guided by the internal. And there's another layer behind this story that I've kind of already alluded to. Jesus is in an area of Israel that's not terribly Jewish. He's in Tyre and Sidon. It's in the northern part of Israel. If you know anything about Jewish history, the northern kingdom was the kingdom that often strayed and became unfaithful. Now, the south did too, but the south was able to preserve a certain sense of religious practice in ways that the north wasn't. And so there were different kinds of believers. There were all kinds of expressions and variations of faith. And so it's not unusual that Jesus would have encountered someone who was not Jewish. And yet, on some level, she must have heard about the wonderful things that Jesus had done. She must have heard about the fact that Jesus could proclaim the kingdom of God, and on some level, she understood who he was because she did him homage. Jesus is very clear that the way in which we love our neighbor has everything to do with how much we're able to love our God. There is this deep connection. And lest we get confused, he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, where the question is posed, well, who is my neighbor? And the answer is everyone. Everyone is neighbor. And the one who realized that wasn't the one who was expected to know that, but a Samaritan. Similar to the types of faith that was being expressed in this Tyre and Sidon. What about us? What is our attitude toward those neighbors of ours that maybe we don't like? I'm not talking just about the people that might live near us, but others. Because we live in a time and an age where I think it's getting more and more difficult for us simply to interact with people that don't think the way we do or don't act the way we do. And not only do we not interact with them, we are becoming more and more the types of persons that can't let it go at just that. We've got to insult others, demean them. We've got to call them bad names. We've got to make them demons and animals we don't like. That's hardly the type of attitude that Jesus embraced in his own life. This was the Son of God who spent time with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. This is the one who interacts with the woman who would have made a Jewish rabbi ritually unclean by association. It is this Jesus who interacts with lepers, the outcasts of society, not just because of the very high level of contagiousness that leprosy or Hansen's disease has, but because any such blemish, Hansen's disease or not, could make one ritually impure. Our lives are a balance between recognizing the importance of our external expressions of worship. To be sure, that's what human beings, I think, need to figure out. Who is God, and how does God want to be worshiped? If God is indeed all-powerful and all-good and all-knowing, then we should figure this out. It's important for us who are not always good, not always all-knowing, and not always all-loving. But if our external worship is going to have the type of meaning that draws others into our kingdom, into the kingdom of Jesus, which we profess, then it has to result in a change of our internal dispositions so that we can recognize that, as Jesus tells us in something that we'll read about 10 chapters from now in the Gospel of Matthew, when he is hungry, when he is thirsty, when he is in prison, when he is a stranger, when he is in a hospital and sick, we have an obligation because every person has the person of Jesus dwelling within them. To be sure, embracing this and living this way is no small task. We live in a world that is scary and frightening. We live in a world where people do terrible things. We live in a world of violence and war. We live in a world where not everyone has yet learned how to share. We live in a world where it can be, in fact, quite risky sometimes to be nice, to be kind, to be good. But this is the type of kingdom that Jesus embraces. And he reminds us that if our external worship is going to have meaning, then internally we must become more and more like him, the one we receive in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist.